set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. Why, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath. He shall vex them with his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Fear the Lord. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. O Lord God of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee.
Now will you turn in your songbook to number 25. Number 25, Send the Light. Of praising God, we can praise him loudly, or we can praise him as we sing softly. But such a gospel song and a missionary song as Jesus Saves calls for our best, doesn't it? So may we stand and let us lift it up a little more now as we sing it. The number is 31.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus Saves. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
And turn to number 19. Surely this will make us search our hearts, even more deeply. My faith looks up to thee. The last stanza, let us sing softly. The others, as we feel in our hearts, we should sing them.
Missionaries who have birthdays today and whose names are listed on our calendar of prayer on either side of you. But first, I would make a prayer request for Europe. In a secluded corner of a lovely, quiet garden, a bush grew, scarcely noticed amid the beauty of the numerous other trees and flowers. One day, this bush burst into full bloom. When the people of the neighborhood discovered it, they were astounded and thrilled that the bush had so unexpectedly produced such perfect blossoms. This is the way a local reporter wrote about the first concert performance this spring of the new choral group at the Baptist Theological Seminary in Rüschtikon, Switzerland. He described our choir as the blossoms on the seminary bush, which has been quietly growing in the lovely garden of Switzerland for the past 16 years. I want to share with you today the story of the planting of that bush, for it was the most thrilling birthday experience in the life of this missionary thus far. Dr. Everett Gill, Sr., many, many years ago, dreamed of an international Baptist seminary be located in the heart of Europe. And Dr. W. O. Carver picked up the idea and mentioned it often. But although both of these Christian statesmen prayed fervently for many, many years, they had to wait until almost the end of their lifetimes to see any possibility of an answer to their prayer. Then, during the last World War, the dream of those two men became a basic part of the thinking and planning of Dr. George Sadler, who was supported and encouraged in it by Dr. Theron Rankin, both of our Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board. In the spring of 1948, my husband and I were appointed as the first missionary couple to the not then established European International Seminary. We were present with Dr. Sadler and Dr. Rankin and several leaders of European Baptist churches at the meeting of the Executive Committee of the Baptist World Alliance in London, at which the final decision and agreement was made to go forward with that project. We went from London with these two men and Mrs. Martin of South YWMU to Switzerland on August 20th, 1948, my birthday. We discovered the lovely house and property on that day, that property which has become the home of the Baptist Theological Seminary today. The dream became a reality, as dreams based on prayer usually do. We have but to learn to dream big dreams and pray big prayers to our great God. So my prayer request today is not a small one. To our Lord, who is able, I ask you to pray for a revival in Europe. After the last war, there was an upsurge in the churches, and growth was apparent on all sides as the people began to build a new war, a new life in war-torn nations. Now that these countries have attained a degree of prosperity again, secularism is taking over, and the numbers on the church rolls are dropping. Even the lifting of the bands of persecution is not always helpful. Baptist in Catholic and communist countries in Europe fear the disinterest that is manifesting itself in their churches as the way becomes easier. It is perhaps unfortunate that our churches in Europe have often flourished best in times of difficulty. Now they need to learn to go forward in times of advance and prosperity. Pray for a revival in Europe. Pray that young men and women will awaken to the call to Christian service and give of themselves to bring about this revival. Our seminary is an answer to prayer. Pray that we may keep alive this dream for old Europe in the hearts of young Europe today. May we pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today, knowing that all power is in your hands. Our world and all of us who live in it are but creations of your hands. But we are so glad, Father, that you made us after your image and put within us hearts that love and hearts that care. We are glad that our Christian ancestors dreamed dreams, had visions, and prayed the prayers that brought into being our churches we have today. We are so thankful for our Christian heritage, which came to us from the continent of Europe long ago. Now, Father, our hearts reach out in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Europe. Knowing what difficult times many of them have had in the recent years, we thank you that today the situations in which they live and work have improved. But, Father, you know, as we know, that the need for another improvement is so great. We come before you today to ask for a revival in Europe, a revival that will start in the hearts of Baptists and spread into every corner of that great continent. And we would turn our hearts in prayer for these two missionaries who have birthdays today, Father. We pray for Miss Olive Riddle, retired missionary from China. How we thank you for the service she has so faithfully rendered. Her life is an inspiration for those of us who serve you in foreign lands today. And we pray for Mrs. C.O. Griffin in Indonesia that this day she will feel the outpouring of the prayers upon her from us, and that she will be blessed, and that her every need will be met in you this day. It is in our Savior's name we pray.
Person who has just led us in prayer is Mrs. John D.W. Watts, wife of the president of our European Baptist Theological Seminary in Rüschlikon, Switzerland. Having seen her, you may imagine my joy when on the first day of September, I was privileged to be in Rüschlikon when her husband was inaugurated president of that seminary. Surely you will take home with you the prayer she has laid on your heart. We had at the organ at the beginning of this session Mr. Jack Jones, who is the organist for the convention. We appreciate his coming into our meeting, and we enjoyed your playing. This morning, Dr. Cawthon introduced to you in the dark the foreign missionaries. We had very much wanted to recognize the missionaries here. You'd be amazed how many people have come to us and said, did you know Miss So-and-so is here? Or did you know Mrs. So-and-so is here? Or did you know Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so are here? Each one, missionary friends of theirs, and they so wanted us to recognize them. You can't imagine the pull at our hearts as we have sat here on the platform and looked at all of these missionaries, knowing each one is precious to all of you and desiring to introduce them. But time does not permit us to introduce all, and surely you know we wouldn't play favorites. Now, the home missionaries have not stood, and so first I would like all home missionaries in the room to stand. And will you turn around, as Dr. Cawthon had the foreign ones turn around today, so that the people in the back can see you. Now, will you remain standing? And again, in the daylight, we would like to see all the foreign missionaries. And won't you turn so that the people in the rear can see you? We'd like for all of them to know that we have this wonderful group of missionaries from home and foreign fields here with us. Thank you. A message has come for D.W. O'Regan. It has been returned to the information desk if you will go there and get it. We are changing scenery between now and tonight. We are changing meetings between now and tonight. And we are changing climate between now and tonight. I have been asked to announce to you that the air conditioner is going to be put on full force so that the men will be cool enough, and the ladies will please take this into mind and bring wraps along. So after this 3 o'clock adjournment, will you go get your wraps, ladies, and come back? I usually pull together everything under the heading of announcements, and since this may be my last announcement period, I shall pull one thing in that may not seem just like an announcement, but it's a good time for me to say it. We have made several references here to the planning for this meeting when Mrs. Fling would come to Birmingham, and she, the staff members, Miss Mathis and I would work and work and think and think. And in one of the early planning sessions, Mrs. Mathis said to Mrs. Fling, I think you should speak to the annual meeting this year. Well, there was all sorts of resistance at first, and the resistance continued for some time. But Mrs. Mathis's reason was quite adequate, and I supported her 100%. For the past 2 years, in our January board meeting, when we have all of the state WMU leadership, Mrs. Fling has spoken to us about the times in which we are living, the program of Women's Missionary Union in this time, Women's Missionary Union's part in church programming, and we felt that her thoughts on these subjects should not be confined just to the executive board and state leadership, but should be shared with the larger group who would be here. And it is for that reason that she is on the program this afternoon for a president's message.
Now the time has come for our election of officers, and we recognize Mrs. Bradford Duncan, the Vice President from Tennessee, Chairman of the 1965-66 Nominating Committee. Ms. Duncan.
Madam President, the Nominating Committee
recognized as officers of Woman's Missionary Union by virtue of their election as presidents of state Woman's Missionary Unions. The vice presidents: Alabama, Mrs. Alex A. Hall; Arizona, Mrs. H. E. Martin; Arkansas, Mrs. Roy E. Snyder; California, Mrs. Thomas L. Kilpatrick; Colorado, Mrs. Carl Matthews; D.C., Mrs. Thornton Slough; Florida, Mrs. Clyde B. Lipscomb; Georgia, Mrs. Ernest L. Miller; Illinois, Mrs. J.M. Laughlin; Indiana, Mrs. E.W. Springs; Kansas, Mrs. Don Cardis; Kentucky, Mrs. W.C. White II; Louisiana, Mrs. Stanley R. Barnett; Maryland, Mrs. W.P. Watson; Michigan, Mrs. Harry Harp; Mississippi, Mrs. W.E. Hanna; Missouri, Mrs. Homer DeLozier; New Mexico, Mrs. J.S. Newman; North Carolina, Mrs. A.L. Parker; Ohio, Mrs. J.H. Simpson, Jr.; Oklahoma, Mrs. Sam Arnold; Oregon, Washington, Mrs. Felix Green; South Carolina, Mrs. E.R. Eller; Tennessee, Mrs. Bradford Duncan; Texas, Mrs. C.J. Humphrey; Virginia, Mrs. E.S. Stratton.
Thank you so much, these wonderful co-workers. Now, you have heard the name of Mrs. J.R. Lobaugh as recording secretary. Are there other nominations? If not, those favoring the election of Ms. Lobaugh will say aye. Those opposed, no. And the motion carries. She is elected. You have heard the names: member at large to fill an unexpired term till 1969, Mrs. J. Winston Pierce of California. Two members at the large, terms expiring 19 and 70, Mrs. O.K. MacArthur, New Jersey; Ms. Elma Cobb, Arkansas. Are there nominations for any of these three places? If not, those favoring the election of these members at large will make it known by saying aye. Those opposed, no. And the motion carries. Now, this afternoon, we're going to follow an unusual procedure as we close this service in being able to get you from this auditorium safely. You know, Woman's Missionary Union is auxiliary to the Southern Baptist Convention, and we're interested in this convention that follows. We're interested in providing as many seats in here in this auditorium. We've nearly filled it during these days. Many times Ms. Hunt and I have sat here on this platform and looked up there and have wondered, as we've seen it fill up, we did last night, what in the world we were going to do when the Southern Baptist Convention came. We are interested in getting down all of our staging and making it possible for additional seats to be put in here. We want it to be safe for you. At the conclusion of the service this afternoon, this entire stage from the front row on back here and all of this, now I didn't ask to point, but I'm just going to point right all over the place right here for a minute. All of this backstaging will be, shall I say, off limits to you, in order that you will not be hurt as this staging is being taken down and as other things are being brought in. Now, it may be that your car is back here in this section, but that's all right. You can go out this back door or either of these side doors. Do not come through the back corridor. Go out the sides of the auditoriums and the I'm saying back door. It's really the front door, isn't it? And you, but now you're keeping your directions as I'm pointing, you see. And you'll go out this way and on the outside of the building, and you can still reach this area from the outside of the building. You know, Ms. R.L. Mathis does a good job, just like a fire marshal every day. She marshals me in here and gets me up on this stage. I'm going to ask her to come now and make an announcement, and then after the harp meditation this afternoon, you will remain in your seats, and she will direct our leaving this building.
I never saw but one person that could completely control an audience. This person was Dr. Nannie Ward Burroughs, president of the Great Negro Women's Convention. Ms. Burroughs died about 2 years ago. I attended one of her meetings, when she told people who were walking out at the wrong time that she did not let her speaker speak to a walking congregation. And then when the session was over, she said that no one could come to the front. No one was to come to the platform, and she controlled them completely by keeping them in their seats until she said stand. And when she said stand, she put her hands this way and pushed that audience out the back doors. Now, this is exactly what we're going to do to you this afternoon. I want every single one of you to remain seated, with the exception of all our foreign and home missionaries, our overseas guests, and the program personnel here on the platform. While you remain seated after the Amen is played on the harp, they will go back through these aisles, and if you move out, it will hinder them from getting out quickly. And if you will remain seated, they will go to the lobby out there, and there you will have an opportunity to shake hands with our president, our executive secretary, program personnel, and all our missionaries and guests. And so we're going to do our best to emulate the example of Miss Nanny Ward Burroughs and keep you in your seats until I move you out.
Come to Dallas. Not by horse and buggy, not by bicycle, not by Model T Ford. If you came by bus, it was air conditioned. If you came by car, you drove on expressways, freeways, interstate highways. If you came by air, you probably flew in a DC-6, a DC-7, a jet, an Astrojet, or maybe even a whisper jet. And what did you wear? Not the dress of 1900, nor the dress of 1910. Not the dress of 1920, nor the dress of 1930, not the dress of 1940. But you wore modern dresses. Nylon, Dacron, Cotron, Fortrell, wrinkle-proof cottons. The 19th century had its charm, but at the turn of the century, women began to emerge, engaging in broader study, undertaking higher education, entering the professions, responding to the urge to crack the political man's world. 20th century women began to breathe the air of expectancy, and they have added vibrance to the century's accomplishments. This vitality has molded the personality and is reflected in the character of Women's Missionary Union. In the first decade, women's societies and sunbeam bands made up our union. Young women and girls were tied to their mother's apron strings. On occasions, they sat quietly on the fringes of the society meeting and heard conversations about missions. Mothers became increasingly aware of the gap between Sunbeam Band and their own societies. The second decade brought form to their thinking and increase to the WMU family, Young Woman's Auxiliary for Young Women, Girls Auxiliary for Girls, the Order of Royal Ambassadors for Boys. These completed the family circle, that is, as far as women could go, for organizing their husbands and grown sons awaited mate.